So yesterday you mentioned one of the practices of our tradition that I personally found both challenging and really, really beneficial. And so I was wondering if you could maybe explain how upatthi fits into our training and like what we can learn from it.
Right. Well, you know, I think one is, of course, it's pretty well laid out in the Chula Vaga, in the Vinaya. So it's something that has been a part of the Buddha's vision of sangha relations, but I think it also is something that in the Thai forest tradition they've taken it and refined it or paid close attention to it and developed it as a part of the practice and the relationship. So things are you know, there's many aspects of the that attending to say like a senior monk or monks. But it's also, I think, one of the things that's important in the Vinaya, that it's also a mutual relationship, in that the junior monks are paying attention to many of the physical and material needs of the senior members, but then also the senior members they have duties of looking after the welfare of the junior members, making sure that they've got requisites, making sure that they've got their health is looked after, and teachings and training is being given, so it is a mutual relationship and a development of a mutual support in the holy life. I think one of the things that is, it's much more natural say in Thailand and in the Isan, just because of the relationships that people already have towards their family, teachers in terms of like your school teachers, you grow up having that a certain amount of respect and deference, and then religious and spiritual teachers. So it's not a huge leap to be taking on. So there's a certain sense of comfort, which I think is, of course, missing in our from our background. So one of the first things that comes up in terms of practice is feeling of self-consciousness, and of course that is a and it's not usually self-consciousness and oh, don't I feel good and confident and clear. It's more self-conscious, you know, feeling awkward and uncomfortable and fear of being judged in some way. So, did I do it right? And you know, all of those things. But it is quite directly highlighting the kind of self-cherishing and self-concern that we carry around with us, and it's a source of dukkha. So it's actually quite an integral part of developing an awareness of how that works in a generally non-threatening environment, so we can start to recognize and investigate more clearly how that works, and then also I think one of the things that I certainly found is just a lot of in terms of being able to recognize how that sense of self comes up so strongly and fear and worry come in, that it can be recognized and dropped, or at least ameliorated and start to be worn down a bit, and then there's a subsequent lightness and ease that comes into the heart, and then being able to be of service to others is generally quite a satisfying experience. Being able to care for somebody else's needs, and then there's the whole other aspect of developing the mindfulness of what is needed, what's appropriate for, say, this particular monk, what's appropriate for that particular monk, a certain mindfulness and discernment of different temperaments and different personalities and different needs, because you don't go around with this kind of a pocketbook and slip out. You get your sort of your checklist, and you've got to really be attentive and be able to adjust things in the present moment. So you're really learning how to apply mindfulness and discernment with real human beings. So that's a important learning that we gain. Also, just anticipating somebody's needs and recognizing. That was like there's that story of Thanpo Li observing Ajahn Mun, so like a sneaking peek through the thatch of the dwelling place to see how when Ajahn Mun, he'd set his place out, Ajahn Mun come in and put things back around how he liked it, and then Thanpo Li would. Because you can't just sort of go in there, or you can't, and just tell me what it, this sort of being observant, and so he was figuring out ways to pay attention, and it's over a series of days, and sort of, okay, he stopped moving stuff around, and everything was in its right place, just as the Ajahn wanted, and so that was a learning and using investigation and observation of the so those are skills that you start paying attention to that person, and then you actually start learning how to pay attention to others as well, your peers, your the junior members, as you go up in seniority, then you you're learning how to pay attention to other people, and those are skills, very human skills, that rely on fundamental mindfulness and discernment, and so that it's putting them into a practical application. And there's certain set ways that things get done, but then there's also beyond the set ways. So, say like, okay, you get like in Thailand where you the robes are prepared and the bowls are set out in certain ways, and same here where we set things out. But then there's other times where you say just like, okay, like I walk across from my office to the kitchen with a tray, and people notice that, come out and take it from me and give me a hand with that. So it's a very observant and practical application of just things like that, upatak duties, looking after the ajahn, and so there's many things like that, and looking after the senior monks. And,